know that or not. But his greatest teachings always came when the crowd was its smallest. The smallest crowd got the greatest revelation. Because the larger the crowd, the greater the diversity. And it's hard to reach everybody, and the larger the quantity is. But Jesus did his best teaching when his disciples came to him privately alone. So he did his best teaching to 12 men, perhaps 82 with the 70 others. And you'll be blessed tonight just for coming. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to just make a few points again as to what we talked about this morning. And I'm just going to kind of bounce off of that. And I want to really be a blessing to you. I'm going to take my time and cover some things that I think would be of great value to you as a believer. Amen. We want to do that. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. Paul writing to Timothy here. And he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. Stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. Evidently, there was a deposit made in Timothy's life through the Apostle Paul. Most theologians agree that this took place during his ordination service. When Timothy was ordained, hands were laid on him. Anytime someone is ordained or consecrated or separated into the work of God, it should be done with prayer and with fasting and with the laying on of hands. And so something from Paul or the presbytery, more than one, something from them came inside of Timothy. Something was downloaded on the inside of him. It'll happen every time. I know this couple here today, when I laid hands on them, something went inside of them. Something was downloaded on the inside of them. Amen. Now, you know, we can look at the 6th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, excuse me, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm sorry, y'all. I've been preaching a lot all week. This is my 18th service, so things kind of run together. Amen. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Paul here again, writing to Timothy. You notice what he said. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Neglect not the gift that is in thee that was given to you. So Timothy had a download. Everybody said download. Something from heaven was imparted into his spirit. And Paul is admonishing him not to neglect it and then to stir it up. Whatever you receive from God, it needs to be nurtured. It needs attention. Just because you receive something from God, that doesn't mean it's going to work automatically. That means you're going to have to cultivate it. You're going to have to nurture it. You're going to have to give some time and attention to it. Amen. Timothy had a gift here. Paul said he did. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, that was given thee by the through prophecy and the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. And so 2 Timothy, then go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1 in the 2 Timothy chapter 1 in the 14th verse. Look at that verse again, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. It says, that good thing, hallelujah, that good thing. Thank God, whatever it is good if it comes from God, isn't it? Amen? James chapter 1, 17 verse says, every good and perfect gift, every good and perfect gift, cometh down, from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift coming down from above. Hallelujah. And so Paul said to Timothy, that good thing, whatever that was deposited in him, is good. Anything that you get from God is good. Hallelujah. And it's deposited on the inside of you. And all deposits have to be, they have to be nurtured. and you have to cultivate them, and you have to grow, or you have to see to it that you feed the department. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, even though Timothy had a gift, I'm going to be very ministerial with him. We're going to get some word tonight. Even though Timothy had a gift that was deposited on the inside of him, Paul still told him to study, didn't he? See, 2 Timothy chapter 3, the 16th verse, he still told him to study, didn't he?
Yes.
So sometimes people will have a gift, and because you have a gift, sometimes they'll flow in the gift, and they'll neglect to study. The study, the gift never takes the place of the study. You still have to study. I don't care whatever it is that you're called to do. You have to study it. You do it, you're going to do it better based upon God's word. Amen. He says study. 2 Timothy 2:15, study. 3:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needed not to be ashamed. 2:15, rightly dividing, rightly dividing, rightly dividing, rightly dividing. 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so you still have to study God's word even though you've received a deposit from heaven. You have to study. Now he also went on to say in the third chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, he went on to say, see, he's talking to a minister. He went on to say, all scripture, not half of them, not your pet scriptures, not the scriptures that's in the blessing box, not the scripture that you close your eyes and go into a little container of scriptures and pull one of them out and decide that's the scripture for you today. No, all scripture. Everybody say all scripture. So it says all scripture is given. Is given, is given. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The scripture is profitable. Amen. Well, what's the scripture profitable for? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, number one, for doctrine. Let me say doctrine.
Doctrine.
You know, your belief system matters. Your doctrine, your belief system matters. How you believe, what you believe, that matters. Because God can only, he can only carry you as high as your belief system. He can only carry you as high as your doctrine will allow you to go. He can only carry you as high as he can trust you to the degree that you understand his doctrine. Because see, it's dangerous to give more power to somebody that's in doctrinal error. Because if they're in error, then the danger is power gives people influence, and if they have influence and they're wrong doctrinally, then everybody is going to be bent toward their direction because they're flowing in power. But power is no sign that you are doctrinally stable. There are a lot of people that's been flowing in power over the years, and they'll get off on doctrine and start cults and tangents and get in a ditch on one thing or the other. But you see, the scripture is given to establish you, number one, doctrinally. What you believe matters. What you believe about God's word matters.
Yes.
For doctrine, and then for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly furnished, and notice this, may be perfect or complete or mature and thoroughly furnished unto all good works, thoroughly supplied. That verse is telling us that whatever it is that God is calling you to do, you're more liable to do it better if you understand God's word on that subject. Amen. You're more liable to do it better. And so the word of God prepares you for service. The word of God prepares you to serve God properly. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So Paul is making emphasis on the word of God to Timothy. He says all scripture is given. And then he told Timothy to study, to show yourself approved unto God. Now, I don't study for sermons. I don't study for sermons. Never have. No sense in doing that. It's a waste of time. Why would you spend a lot of time studying to preach to people that don't read or understand the Bible? That's a waste of time. I study to show myself approved unto God. Not to preach. I don't study to preach. I study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, so that I may be able to rightly divide the word of truth. whether I'm speaking or preaching or singing or mopping or cleaning or whatever it is you're called to do, you're called to study. Amen. Because the scripture will make you able to accomplish whatever it is that God wants you to accomplish. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, let's look at the, I didn't intend to go this way, but look at the third chapter farther, chapter 3, and it says, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now notice this, verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. From a child, it's traditionally taught that the Jews would go to the synagogue from the time that they were 4 years of age to the time that they were 12, and they had the whole Pentateuch memorized. From 4 to 12, they went to the synagogues every day and was taught the Word of God to the point they were taught scriptural memorization, and they memorized all of the scripture about the time they were 12 years of age. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. From a child, from the time you was 4 years old, you've known the Holy Scripture, which is able. See, the scripture makes you able. Your ability is in the scripture. Whatever God is calling you to do, you can do it better with the scripture. Because it's the scripture that enables you to do whatever God has called you to do. Yes. Your understanding, your knowledge of God's word is everything. It's everything. Of a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture. Hallelujah. You remember Jesus when he was 12 years of age? The Bible says Mary and Joseph went into to Jerusalem to pay taxes. And they had left, and being gone 3 days, they looked for Jesus and couldn't find him. And they went back and found him in the temple, talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He was disputing with them, asking questions and answering them. He was 12 years of age, and he knew the whole Old Testament. He was 12 years of age, and he had all of the Bible memorized. And the Bible said that they were confounded at his wisdom at 12 years of age. Amen. You see, the scripture was preparing him to do the work of God. Jesus didn't just go around preaching anything he wanted to because he was Jesus. He didn't go around doing anything he wanted to do because he was Jesus. Jesus prepared his life for ministry by studying the Word of God, just like any other minister. Amen. In his delivery in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he used the Bible. He quoted the Bible. He quoted the Bible. In fact, I remember the Holy Ghost said this to me in the month of January, year 1991. Say, I knew you wanted to know. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost said to me in January 1991, he said, I was up late one night reading the Bible, and the Holy Ghost said to me, he said, did you know that Jesus read the Bible? That's what he said. Did you know? I can tell by the way you're looking at me, perhaps you didn't know it. Yeah, I look just like you look when you said it to me. He said, did you know? Evidently, I didn't. Did you know that Jesus read the Bible? I thought a little bit and says, no, I didn't know that. I just thought he went around saying whatever he wanted to say, doing whatever he wanted to do, because he was Jesus. But he didn't. He didn't. I said he didn't. You know, the Bible said when Jesus was baptized by John in the river of Jordan, Luke chapter 4, the Bible said in the 13th verse, you turn over there if you want it, Luke chapter 4, 13, the Bible says, after the devil had ended all of his temptation, he departed from Jesus for a season. Amen. And then the Bible says that he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, to be tried and tested of the devil. And when the temptation time was over, the Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit. Everybody say power of the Spirit. See, he was strengthened in his spirit. He developed himself. He strengthened himself before he got into public ministry. One way that he did this was through prayer and fasting. He went and got alone with the Father, and he strengthened himself. And the Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And notice this, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, and when he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, did you know Jesus went to church? I said, did you know Jesus went to church? He went to church every day. The Bible says he did. His custom was. He returned into Galilee, and he entered into the synagogue as his custom was. And when he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for the read. Well, he's reading, isn't he? I said, isn't he? He stood up on the Sabbath day to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Jesus read the Bible. Jesus had great oratorial ability that the people loved to hear him read. Jesus read the Bible growing up as a little boy. He quoted the Bible. He read the Bible. And the Bible said, as his custom was. It was a custom for Jesus to come into the synagogue. It was a custom for Jesus to stand up. It was a custom for Jesus to read. He didn't just come in there and take over that church service. He had been in ministry for a while, and now he made a pilgrimage back home. He had come back home, and I always thought that he went straight to Nazareth. I thought that he went straight to Nazareth right after he got out of the desert, but he didn't. I said he didn't. I always thought that. You see, the Bible says after the devil had ended his temptations, he departed from him for a season. And then he returned to Nazareth. And see, he returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit, doesn't it? But notice what it said before that. He taught in their synagogues. He taught in their synagogues. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. He didn't go straight back home. He had an itinerant ministry. He had a pilgrimage of preaching and teaching. He was working his way back home. Then he returned to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up as his custom was, and entered into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for the read. And that was delivered unto him. That was delivered unto him. That was delivered unto him. You don't just come to somebody's church and sit down in the back and they start preaching and walk to the back because they see you come in and give you the Bible. No. You got to be a heavyweight. Or you have to be somebody that they already know. You see, it was delivered unto him, the book. It was delivered unto him, the book. Now, if you read the back part of that, it said, then he closed the book. He read, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind. Now, notice this, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, notice, then closed he again the book and gave to the minister. Then closed he again the scroll and then gave back to the minister and sit down. Well, I wonder who delivered the book to him. I think the minister did. I looked the word minister up in the Greek. It means the man in charge. It means that we call it in America the master of ceremony. He was in charge. When he saw Jesus come in, he brought him the scroll. He brought him the book. And Jesus opened the book and found the place where it was written. And he started to quote the scripture. He started to read the scripture. The Bible said, then closed he the book and gave again to the minister and sat down. All the eyes of the synagogues were fastened upon him. Everybody say, Jesus went to church. Say, Jesus read the Bible. Now, you knew that, but you didn't know it. Because if you study 93 quotes in the Gospel of Matthew alone of the Old Testament. If you just study the ministry of Jesus, his whole defense was the Word of God. He would say things like this, have you not read? Yes. Have you not read what David did? Have you not read about Sodom and Gomorrah? Have you not read? 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 Well, that means he had read. Amen. Have you not read? See, he opened the book. He found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus read the Bible. The Holy Ghost said that to me. He says, did you know that Jesus read the Bible? And then he said to me, not the Bible that you have today. He didn't read the New Testament because the New Testament wasn't written. But he read the Old Testament from Genesis all the way to Malachi. He studied it extensively, and he used the Bible for his defense of the gospel. The Word of God prepared him to do the work of God. Well, if Jesus being anointed of the Holy Ghost and he needed the Bible to prepare him, how much more do you need the Bible to prepare you? You see, if you're unprepared, it'll show up on you. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. Study his work. That's why we do so little of it. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I don't study to preach. I study so that I won't be ashamed. I study so that when I get up, I won't be embarrassed. I study to make myself approved unto God so that I can be a workman that's approved by the Father, whether I'm preaching, whether I'm teaching or not. I study because I want to know God. I study because I want to learn more about Him. I study because grace and peace is multiplied unto me through the knowledge. Amen. Now, just so happens I do get to preach. And so the overflow of the study just comes out in the preaching. Say amen if you can.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Now, do you know something? That's not what I come to tell you. Did you know you could get blessed by hearing something I didn't come to tell you?
Yeah.
Sure you can. Sure you can. Now, so let's look farther in the Word of God here. Let's look farther. Now, Paul said to Timothy, of a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise, 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 from of a child, from 4 years of age to 12, thou hast known the Scripture which is able to make thee. I like that. You know, I get excited about half a verse. Some people can read a whole chapter and it doesn't move them. There's something wrong with you. I mean, something's bothering you. You read any portion of the Bible, don't get. I used to get excited about it. I'm carrying the Bible with me. I got born again when I was 16 in the month of June, 1981. 109 McDonald Street in the living room of Curtis Gibson's house, kneeling right down by the coffee table. I got born again. I was 16 years of age. I got born again. And I started to carry the New Testament with me everywhere I went. In my junior and senior year, I carried the New Testament to school with me every day. My junior and senior year, I toted the Bible with me every day. Now, I didn't read it. But blessed be God, I had it with me. Well, see, you laugh. A lot of Christians still. See, I was 16, didn't read. See, you 40, not read. Say amen to that. I say, you know, a lot of Christians don't read the Bible. They don't read the Bible. But I had it with me. I carried it with me every day. Amen. When I was in accounting class, I'd pull it out, you know. They got rules against this today. You couldn't get away with it. But I pull the Bible out in accounting class, and I look at the front of it, and it says, Holy Bible. Oh. And I'd get so excited about that. And I'd clench it to my chest, and I'd just, whew, Holy Bible. My. I got blessed from reading outside. You ever got blessed from reading outside? Some people read all through it and can't get blessed. I'd pull it out every once in a while. I'd pull it out, and sometimes I'd go to the table of contents and get blessed. I'd read that, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Close it up and get blessed. Woo, glory to God, hallelujah. Just get blessed again. Amen. I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know what's wrong with you. You can't get happy about the Word of God. I got blessed reading outside. You ever got blessed reading outside? Hallelujah. And then I skip around, you know, I just skip around and go toward the back and say, copyright, 1962. Woo, glory to God. I get excited. Now, I wasn't reading it. I said, I wasn't reading it, but I had it with me. I said, I wasn't reading it, but I had it with me. And I studied martial arts extensively, kung fu. Charlie Foot, Jit Kung Do, Taekwondo, Taekwondo, and all these other dudes. And I just studied all of that. And I was just heavily involved in martial arts. But I started to hear from the Holy Ghost on the inside. I started to learn to hear from the Holy Ghost on the inside before I ever knew he could talk to people. I didn't think God talked to nobody but me and Jimmy Swaggart. Amen. Well, I watched Jimmy Swaggart, and now you have to realize where I was from and how I was thinking. See, young black boy in Louisiana, you know, growing up in Louisiana, and just growing up, and I'd watch Jimmy Swaggart preach. And I thought, well, now here it is. I say, well, now if a white man on television telling the whole nation that God's talking to him, I said, God's talking to me. I said, well, he can talk to me too. I didn't think that he could talk to me. But I didn't think, no, I didn't tell anybody God was talking to me because I knew they thought I was missing it up here. But you see, he was talking to Jimmy Swaggart. And Jimmy Swaggart said God talked to him. And I thought, well, I must got with Jimmy Swaggart, God, because God's talking to me too. Just like he's talking to Jimmy Swaggart. And I remember, I'll get to what I want to tell you in a minute, but I like what I'm doing now. I remember the first leading I got. See, you got to learn to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to talk to you about that on the tail end of this. Amen. You have to learn to be led by the Holy Ghost. You have to learn that. And the number one way God leads all his children is through the inner witness, the inward witness. That's number one. He leads us from the inside. Greater is he that is in us. The inner witness, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. He leads us first, primarily, number one, from the inside. And you can develop that. You can train yourself to listen to the voice of the voice of your, really is the witness, not a voice at all. You can train yourself to follow that inward witness. There are three primary ways that he leads his children. Number one, the inner witness. Number two, the still small voice. Number three, the Holy Ghost, in that order. In that order. He leads us all the same way. But most of his children don't take time to develop that. They don't listen to that. And so my first leading, when I was 16, 17, I started hearing the Lord. My first leading. It went something like this. You might can identify with it. perhaps you may have heard this leading yourself. He said to me right down on the inside, very profound. Just that witness would say, read the Bible. That's it. Nothing profound. That's the first witness I got on the inside. I was reading martial arts, kung fu. I was studying to be a great fighter, a martial artist. I was studying and reading. But something on the inside was prompting me, leading me. It went something like this. Read your Bible. And then it'll wait and say it again. Read your Bible. And I'd hear it again, read your Bible. And then he said it the fourth time. He says, read your Bible, son. He says, it's all in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. And I'm a little slow. I didn't catch on to it. So I thought maybe God's trying to tell me to read the Bible or something. So I didn't do it, but I had it with me. I kept the Bible with me. Told it everywhere I went. Take it to the bathroom. I started that at 16, 17 years of age. I'd take the Bible to the bathroom. Just started it. And I just last night, I was up reading just late last night. Couldn't get the Lord to say anything to me. And he said, go to the bathroom. I went to the bathroom. He started talking to me. Uh-huh. Praise God. He speaks to me in the bathroom. I got trained that way. Everything I learned right there, sitting right there on the pot. Well, you said what you want her. But you got to find out when, where, and how God speaks to you. Amen. God speaks to me when I'm washing dishes. He speaks to me when I'm on the pot, and he speaks to me when I'm cutting grass. Now, I tell women say, well, now he doesn't speak to me. Well, he speaks to me washing dishes, but primarily in the kitchen, mainly washing dishes. I tell women that's struggling, they're not hearing from God, you're not washing enough dishes. You need to get with it. You need to spend more time in the kitchen. God speaks to you in the kitchen. But I get healed again and again and again and again and again in the bathroom. I just got trained that way. I just go sit a spell. Oh, I'm done, took care of my business. I'm just sitting, just listening.
Say amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Now, I mean, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm regular, and I'm proud to tell you. But I just go sit. Just go sit and open the Bible, just sit. And the Holy Ghost started talking to me. I read the Bible. He starts telling me things that I'd never seen before. So when I want to know something, when I'm confused, don't know what to do, I just go in the bathroom, sit. I had my wife trained. When I'd get confused in life, she said, that you need to go in there. I just go in there and just open the Bible. And Jesus met me every time. Everybody say every time.
Every time.
Yeah, he met me every time in the bathroom. So, you know, as his custom was, you find out what your custom is. Yeah. Customarily, he started teaching and talking to me in the bathroom. So I wasn't reading the Bible, but I was taking it with me and I'd take it to the bathroom. And then I started getting that second lead. The second leading I got went something like this. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. He said it three times. Read your Bible. He said it the fourth time. Read your Bible, son. And then he said it the fifth time. It's all in the Bible. And I'm just scratching my head. I thought maybe God want me to read the Bible or something. But I wouldn't do it. And so I'd carry it with me, though. I kept it with me. And as time went by, I heard that same, read your Bible. Now, see, you laugh, but some of you may be getting that same witness. Here it is, 30 years down the road. You may be still hearing that same thing and not obeying it. That's why some Christians struggle. They're not in the Word of God. They're in church, but you need to get in the Word.
Yes.
See, it's the working Word that works inside of you. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
The Word is able to make thee wise. From of a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. And notice this, which is able. Which is able. What's able? The Scripture is able to make you wise through faith in salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, you have salvation, but it's the Scripture that makes you wise about it. Amen. You learn to use the Word. You learn to handle the Word of God. Go to Book of Acts. Book of Acts chapter 15. Acts the 15th chapter. Now Paul, 17th verse, came to Miletus and stopped at Ephesus, and he held a pastoral conference. These were 12 men that he had trained on the coast of Ephesus. You remember that Paul had he had trained, Acts chapter 21, excuse me, Acts 21, I said 15, 21. Acts chapter 21. Paul had trained these 12 men. And they went to Bible school, 19th chapter of the book of Acts, when he was at the coast of Ephesus and finding certain disciples there, said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? And they said, we haven't so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, what were you baptized? They said, John. He said, John verily taught the baptism of repentance, saying you should believe upon him that should come, and that is on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, after they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 19:6. Then Paul laid his hands upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. All the men were about 12. And then the Bible says that he took them to the synagogue and disputed daily the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. But when divers hearts were hardened, believed not, and spoke evil of the way by which Paul speaks, the Bible says he separated the 12 unto himself and taught them in one of the school called Tyrannus for 2 years. And this continued for 2 years. So these were the men here that have been trained for 2 years. Everybody say 2 years.
2 years.
Now, let me say this about Bible school. I ran a Bible school for 14 years. The Lord said this to me about Bible school. He says 2 years, 2 years. Now, listen to what I'm going to tell you. Here's my right hand to the Lord. You don't have to hear from the Lord. You can hear from me because I heard from him, and I'm telling you. He said this to me. Here's my right hand to him. He said 2 years is the minimum. The minimum amount of time that one needs to be prepared and trained for ministry. 2 years daily. That's what he said to me. He said 2 years daily is not the maximum, but the minimum amount of time that one needs to be trained for ministry. Now you think about that. Jesus had 12 disciples with him for 3.5 years. He trained them for 3.5 years. If you study the ministry of Paul, he actually trained these guys for 3 years. It was 2 years in school and 1 year in internship. 2 years daily, 1 year in intern. 2 years daily, 1 year in internship. If you study Acts chapter 19, they had a healing school in conjunction with his Bible school. And these men helped him in healing school. And that's what we're going to open up in Mobile, a healing school. A school of healing where we teach and preach healing all the time. Nothing but faith, nothing but healing. The great generals did it. John Lake, amen, Amy Simple McPherson, Kenneth Hagin, F.F. Bondsworth, Alexander Dowie, so on and so forth. But they raised up healing schools, or schools of healing. And Paul taught the word of God in the evenings, and he had healing schools. Now, the people that helped him in the healing schools, now, look at Acts 19. Let me show you something. This, I might as well sweep the kitchen here. I got stuff laying around on the floor. Acts 19 chapter. Now, look, skip down to verse 11. Well, let's read verse 10 to make it complete. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they that dwelled in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jew and Greek. And God wrought special. Everybody say special.
Special.
And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Doesn't it say that? I said, doesn't it say that?
Yeah.
That from his body, whose body? From Paul's body. From his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons. And the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. From his body were brought handkerchiefs and aprons. Who you thought brought them? Somebody brought them. Paul didn't bring them. Somebody brought them. So that from his body, those were the 12 men he had trained in Bible school and in healing school. Mm. They was working with him. The Lord instructed me to follow this pattern. Hold a Bible school. In addition to your Bible school, run a healing school. That's exactly what Kenneth E. Hagin done in Tulsa. He had prayer and healing school. See, it's two things the church needs all the time. Prayer, and we need the word taught, and we need healing. Prayer, faith, and healing. We need that all the time. Everybody needs more prayer. We need faith, and healing needs to be in the church all the time. And you raise up what we call healing technicians. People that are specially equipped and trained to minister to the sick till you can bring them to healing. Sending them out 2 by 2, going to minister healing to the sick. John Lake used to send his students out, and he would assign them different cases. In those days, people were bedridden. They didn't have the big hospitals like they do today. If you were sick, you stayed at home. The doctor made home visits. Well, John Lake used to send his students out 2 by 2. He would assign cases to them. Don't come back till they're healed. Don't come back. He said some of them would be gone for 6 weeks and wouldn't come back. He said, I noticed in the process of time, some of them would be gone 4 weeks and didn't come back. But he says, I noticed in the process of time, some of them would be gone 2 weeks and didn't come back. But then he says, I noticed in the process of time, he says, some of them would be gone. They got pretty skilled at this. Then they would be gone 3 days and come back. Got them healed in 3 days. Then he said they got so skilled, they could get back the same day. But they worked. They learned to stay with people. You see, a lot of times we pray one prayer called a prayer of faith, and it doesn't work. We want God to do everything right now and then. Much of the time, people are not in position to receive healing. Much of the time when we're in church and people come right down front, they're not in position to receive healing. We go ahead and pray for them because we want to be nice, we want to be courteous, but I can tell sometimes looking at them coming, they ain't ready. It's really a waste of time. They won't get it. You keep praying for people, you'll pray them in unbelief. They'll start thinking, well, I tried that. Didn't work. I've been prayed for by 15 people. I've came down to be prayed for and didn't work. Well, the word always works. You're not working. You're not in a position to be healed. You see, you need to get in a position to be healed. They had certain rules where we won't even pray for you in a prayer line until you've been to 7 healing classes. Go to 7 classes, then come to be prayed for. Chances are you'll get healed hearing. See, you get your faith right, get your thinking right, get your believing right. You can get healed in class. A lot of times I get more people healed by hearing than prayer. Thank God for prayer. We believe in prayer. But if I can get you in a service long enough, if I can get you to come every day, if I can get you to sit and listen, cancer, lumps, tumors, and growths will disappear in your body. Amen. Just sitting there, just sitting, hearing. No prayer. Thank God for prayer. No anointing with the Lord. Thank God for that. But hearing and being healed. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Well, you see, Paul had a healing school, and he trained these men, and they helped him in healing school. Amen. Now, I'm going to just mess with you. I leave in the morning, so I'm going to share some things with you. The Lord said to me when I started Bible school, this works for me. He said, this Bible school is more for you than it is for the students. I didn't know what he meant until I started it. My God, when I started it, I realized exactly what it put me to work. My God, I wrote syllabuses. I wrote curriculums. I studied, I learned, I studied, I learned. It flat out put me to work. We taught 17 courses. It was a 2-year school. We met twice a week, 2 hours on Tuesday, 2 hours on Thursday. I had 2 instructors, and then eventually 3 and 4 with myself. And we taught the word and taught the word and taught the word. And here's what he said to me. He says, he showed me some things in the word. I'll just share it with you. He said, did you notice? He said, now, the Apostle Paul, listen, are you listening?
Yes, sir.
He said, the Apostle Paul, that you know the anointing on his life increased? It increased after he started that Bible school? I said, no, I didn't notice that. I hadn't noticed it. Had you noticed it? Anybody noticed it? Somebody said, I don't even care to know. I don't care to know. Well, I'll tell you exactly what he told me. He said, there's no reference in the Bible of Paul ever raising anybody from the dead until after he started that Bible school. Amen. Started that Bible school in the 21st and 19th chapter. He raised man from the dead, 20th chapter. And then this is what he said to me. He said, there's no reference in the Word of God that me working special miracles through Paul. No reference. No reference. Now, we know Paul had miracles. We know Paul had healings. Amen. Because we know in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, the man at Lystra got healed. We know that he had miracles. We know that the Bible teaches he had miracles. But it did not say until Acts, the 19th chapter, the 11th verse, and God wrought special miracles. Well, I don't know about you, but you ladies may know. You know, ladies are better shoppers than men. A lady, I see a dress or something she wants. She won't get it. She's just looking. Oh, she's just shopping around looking. She'll go back again, shop around, look again at that same dress. She's watching the price go down on it. Amen. She's watching the price go down. She go back, shop around, look around, get something to eat, look around at that dress. And then they got a big sign that says special. Special. Well, you know and I know special means not the norm. Doesn't it? Well, this dress was £100, $100. Now it's on sale for $39.99, special. That implies it's something different, doesn't it? If one thing to have miracles, it's another thing to have special. And God wrought, special. God wrought special miracles through the hands of Paul so that from his body were brought handkerchiefs and aprons and delivered unto the sick. And the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them just by cloth. The anointing on his life was so tangible and so strong. The anointing was so tangible, it got off of his body and into his clothing. See, the anointing is like electricity. Electricity is the power of God is like a lot like electricity. John Lake said this. He said electricity is God's power in the natural realm. But he said the Holy Ghost is God's power in the spiritual realm. Electricity can flow, but the Holy Ghost can too. Electricity is power, but the Holy Ghost is too. Electricity can be stored, but the Holy Ghost can too. Electricity can be flow, can be conducted through certain metals. There are certain things that are conducted. There are certain things that won't. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus had the anointing upon him so tangible, it got into his clothing. Remember the lady with the issue of blood? She didn't touch him. She touched his clothing. He said, somebody has touched my clothes. The anointing was so tangible. The anointing can get so strong. It get off of my, it's on me now. I can feel it on me. But it can be sometimes. It increases as you go. And as you learn to flow and cooperate with the anointing that I call you to, then great things will happen. As you fill out and wade out and investigate into those things, looking closer into spiritual matters, then greater light and greater understanding will come and greater results will come. That's what I think in the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? So see, that power that was on Paul got into his clothing. He wears something, the anointing is in his clothing. He take that off and give it to the, they take it to the sick and lay it on the sick. That same anointing and it get on. Well, it's just like electricity. You're getting clothes out of the dryer. And that power just stored in that fabric, isn't it? I said, isn't it? You get shocked. What is power stored up in that garment? Power is in there. Well, the same power, that anointing, the Holy Ghost power that was on Jesus got in his clothes. And Paul taught the word of God. Yeah. See, if you teach it more, I've been in places, if you can stay longer, you get better results. Hard to do something in the night, unless you're an evangelist. And then if you do something in the night, it's much of the time, it doesn't have any lasting quality. You see, people can come be healed by gifts of the Spirit, evangelistically speaking. Thank God for it. We need that. But after you've been healed, healing has to be obtained, but healing has to be maintained. And after you get healed, many a times, Benny Hinn used to say, he was averaging, oh, this is back in the late 90s, he was averaging 3,000 healings per meeting. This was back about 96, 95, 96, 97. He was averaging 3,000 healings per meeting. That's in his meetings that would run about 10,000 people or better. And then the meetings, the crusades got larger. But he would get letters perhaps, he says, anywhere from 2 to 3 months out of people saying, I lost my healing. I got up out of that wheelchair in your service. That lump, that tumor disappeared in your service. I was totally healed, dancing in your service. But when I went back home, after about a month, I noticed those symptoms started to come back. And they gravitated back down, back down, back down. They ended up back in that wheelchair. Now, did they get healed? Yes, sure they did. But see, healing has to be maintained. You need to get in a good Bible-teaching church that teaches the word of faith and teaches healing. And then you need to get in the Word and study the Word where healing is concerned. And the Word of God to build up your faith where healing and your redemption is concerned. See, because if you get healed that way, through somebody praying for you all the time, you're at the mercy of somebody else. I've never been healed of anything by prayer of anybody. I've never. In fact, the last time I had hands laid on me was March of 1982, and I received healing. March of 1982 is the last time I had hands laid on me to receive healing. And actually, he didn't lay his hands on me. He started to. I got healed and jumped up before he did. Say amen.
Amen.
I've always been responsible for believing God and getting my own healing. Because the word will work for you. Amen?
Amen.
If you preach it better when you learn to give it, get it, live it. But if you get healed by an evangelist, thank God for that ministry. We need that in the church. But we also need the teachers to come in and get you established in the Word of God.
Amen.
And if you don't follow through on that, many a times, you see, Paul said, hold fast to that which thou hast. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. I read that verse to you this morning, Isaiah 64:7. It says, there is none that calleth upon thee. There is none that stirred himself up to take hold of thee. Proverbs says, the spider taketh hold with her hands. You got to learn to grab things by faith. You got to learn how to take things inside of you by faith. Are you listening?
Yes.
That's not what I want to tell you, but it's working. Say amen.
Amen.
Well, he had a Bible school. And Paul, God wrought special miracles by him. Amen. So it increased everything. Now, here's what it said to me. Everything in my life increased and got stronger. When I started that Bible school, everything in my life got stronger. The anointing, everything that I did, healings, everything that I did increased. Everything, there was an increase in my life when I started that Bible school. I was pouring. See, while you're pouring out into others, God's pouring back into you. And I'm pouring out, God's pouring in. I'm pouring out, God's pouring in. I'm pouring out, God's pouring in. And to compound the interest in the word got established in my heart. Say amen if you can.
Amen.
All right. I'm talking to you about the importance of the word. Now go over to Acts. I know you've been all through the Bible. Acts chapter 20. We'll go back over there. Acts 20th chapter. Something I want to read to you. Because, see, I was talking about the word of God is able. The word, Paul told Timothy, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make thee wise through faith. Wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Acts chapter 20, y'all there?
Yes.
These are experienced men that Paul trained in the 19th chapter in Bible school. Verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the what? The what?
Elders.
Everybody say elders.
Elders.
Now the word elder is a Greek word presbyterios. We get our word Presbyterian from it. It means mature believers. Elders. Mature. Paul called the elders. Well, what elders? These elders that he had trained. They're elders now. They've been to Bible school. He trained them in the 19th chapter. He's coming back through Miletus. He stopped at Ephesus. He called those boys. This is a pastoral conference. He called those pastors. I'm in town. I'm going to be here a few days. Y'all get over here. I need to talk to you. I need to have a pastoral meeting. I need to say some things to you. I'm not going to see you anymore. So he called these men, these elders of the church, and he said, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Are y'all following me or are you just listening?
Yes.
Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Y'all still out there?
Yes.
Now notice this. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things which befall me there. Amen. Well, he went on to say to them, I want to skip, but you really need to. You really do need to hear the whole thing. Look at the 23rd verse. Save or accept the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. I want to comment a little bit. I never say my ministry. I never use that term, my ministry. I never say it. I used to say it. But I correct myself if I'm tempted to say it. Now, how come? I don't have a ministry. It's not my ministry. It belongs to, notice when Paul said, the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his ministry. Most people are trying to grow their ministry. My ministry. My ministry. They spend a lot of time talking about my ministry. Boy, my ministry. My ministry. My ministry is really doing that. My ministry is going, my. No. It's his ministry. The ministry which I have received. That saying it that way just humbles you a little bit more. The ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Amen. He's counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He's given me a measure of the dispensation of grace. He counted me faithful and worthy. He put me into the ministry. I didn't earn it. Didn't even want it. Say amen.
Amen.
Now notice this. He went on to say several things. And, I just want to read it all. Let's get down to 28 verse. Take heed. Take heed. That therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. See, these are pastors. Flock, sheep, pastors. Amen. Take heed to thyself and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, and feed the church of God which he have purchased with his own blood. Feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Say amen. Now, he's commencing everything that he's saying to these, if I say elders. Now, keep in mind, I want to show you something. You're going to miss something. Perk up. These were trained men. 3 years of Bible school, 2 years of full-time school, 1 year of internship. You'll read that. Paul said, I spared you nothing. I taught you for the space of 3 years. 2 years in school. 1 year in internship. I taught you for 3 years. I held back nothing. Now notice what he said. At the end of this pastoral meeting, he says, I know I'm not going to see you again. This is my last meeting with you. I wanted to bless y'all. And he says, I'm going to leave you with this. Verse 32. I'm going to leave you with this. Y'all looking at it? 32. Well, look at verse 31. Prove the point here. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of how long?
3 years.
By the space of how long?
3 years.
I cease not to warn you night and day with tears. They told him for 3 years. Everybody say 3 years.
3 years.
Now listen. Catch this. Listen. They had gone to Bible school for 2 solid years, and then they had another year with the Apostle Paul, an internship, and now they're pastoring. They're over the churches in Ephesus and Asia Minor. These 12 men became 12 pastors over congregations. But now notice this. Paul said, look at verse 32. Now I commend you to God and and in other words, he said, now I've done my job by teaching, by training, by imparting, by stirring up the gift of God which is in you. Now I turn you over to God. Commend means I deliver you. I turn you over to God. Now notice this. And the word of his grace. Now how come? Which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those that are sanctified in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Now the point I want to make is this. If these three, these 12 elders have already gone to Bible school and been trained for 3 years and now pastoring, you would have the tendency to think that they're finished. No, 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 no. Just because you graduated from Bible school, you only have a piece of paper. The real work gets started out there in life, not out there in the classroom. We don't train people for Bible school per se. We don't train people for ministry. We train them for life. Because whatever you're learning in the classroom has to be applicable in life. Faith has to work in every area of life. When life gets tough, when the going gets tough, you got to be trained not to quit and how to keep going by faith. I don't quit anything. I don't quit. I don't stop. I don't back up. I don't give up. I don't quit anything. If God says it, I'll do it. We'll press through it. It's going to get done. I don't care how much it costs. I don't quit. I don't give up. I don't believe in divorce. Yeah, it happens to some people. But when I say I do, I did. I ain't quitting. I ain't leaving. I don't give up. This is going to work. It has to work. Are you listening? We train people to take the word of God and develop your spirit and learn to live militantly, aggressively, using your faith on purpose, not just for the pulpit, but for life. Paul said, I turn you over to God and the word of his grace. That he still had confidence in that word. I know you've been to Bible school for 2 years. I know I've trained you that third year. But now there's something else. There's something else. There's something else. Now I'm going to turn you over to the word of his grace. That word will build you up and give you an inheritance. You mean there's still some building up after Bible school, after pastoring, after being trained? You mean there's still something farther? Yes. The greatest outpouring of the church is still upon us. The greatest inheritance is yet to be inherited. If you got the Holy Ghost, I don't mean to minimize the Holy Ghost by making this statement. But if you got the Holy Ghost, somebody, I'm baptized, I'm saved, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, you don't have anything but a down payment. The Bible said the Holy Ghost is the earnest. It's the down payment of our inheritance. The Holy Ghost guarantees and helps you get to the rest of it. There's more of it. Everybody said there's more of it. But you see, God can get it to you if he can get it through you. He gets it to you through his word. The word builds you up. God wants to do something so outstanding with you, you can't stand it in the condition that you're in. You have to be built up and prepared for it with the word of God, which will build you up so that I can give you that inheritance. There's more of it. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1 real quickly. Hallelujah. There's more of it. There's a greater. Listen, while you're turning, Galatians chapter 4 says, though the heir be Lord of all, differs nothing from a slave, though he be Lord of all. That verse is saying, you may be born again, you may be a child of the king. You may be a child of God. You may be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But until you grow up spiritually, God can't trust you with what he really wants you to get. Amen. You can have a son. You can be a billionaire with a son. But if he's two or three, he's the heir of all that you have. He's the legal heir of everything that you own, but he can't get it. He can't get it. He's got to be turned over to tutors and governors. He's got to be trained for reigning. You're training for reigning. He's got to be brought to maturity so that that full inheritance can be turned over to him. Say amen.
Amen.
You have to develop yourself so God can trust you with more. He wants to give you more than you want. But he has to be able to trust you. Some people say, well, I want $1 million, £1 million. Well, you ain't doing much with the 100 in your pocket. I mean, $1 million would make some people backslide. I mean, God loves you too much to let you go. $1 million would ruin most people. I hear a lot of young preachers, and not necessarily young, but everybody want to raise somebody from the dead. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody just went around raising people from the dead? Yeah, folks, everybody don't need to be raised from the dead. Some folks better off dead. Say amen.
Amen.
No, you don't raise them all up. I say you don't raise them up. No. If God allowed you to raise somebody from the dead, it would ruin your life in ministry. Because most people can't handle it. The publicity that comes behind it, the recognition, then they'll get lifted up in pride and begin to think that ain't I something? Ain't I somebody special? And when all attention comes to them, then they are spiritually undeveloped and they go off and do something crazy. They run off, leave their wife, go off, get on drugs, go off and do something crazy, and then it embarrasses the whole church. Everybody don't need a power ministry. It'll ruin your life. You can't handle the backup. You raise somebody from the dead, you're it. You're in the spotlight. Now you have to be able to handle the attention that comes from that. God uses some people in prophecy that get lifted up in pride. God uses people to give people a word. Then they start to think that everything that they think is from God. God uses people to do something special, and then they want to do that same thing every time. They don't have any discipline. Amen. It takes time to develop the things of God. Before he can trust you with anything of great value, and you can run around giving words in the parking lot for 20 years, but, you know, most of it's just rubbish and junk. I mean, who's going to believe it anyway? There are prophets, and then there are prophets with a higher status. They're prophets with a higher calling, with higher authority, prophets of nations, prophets of regions, prophets to the body of Christ. And God wants to develop us in the Word. See, it's the Word that he wants developed in your life. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you a few things, and we'll close. You get anything out of this?
Yes. Yes.
It's the working Word. Everything, now listen to me, everything that God does in your life, he does it through the Word of God.
Yes.
Write that down. Everything that God does in your life, he does it by his Word. Amen. The Word of his what? Grace. And then write this down. Everything that God does for you is done first on the inside. And that's where most people miss it. They're looking on the exterior. The greatest revelations I've had all come, the greatest times were not dramatic times at all. We get excited about dramatic things, thank God for it, but the most spiritualist times in my life have been the quietest times, the times that are less dramatic. God wants to work on the inside. Allow me to quote these verses. You write them down. I'll give them to you. First thing you need to know is the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. And you know that. Luke chapter 12 verse 31 says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants, he's given you the kingdom. Well, that doesn't mean a lot. But if you couple that with Luke 17, 21, write that down. Luke 17, 21. It says, neither shall they say, lo here, lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. Everything that God wants to do starts first on the inside. Everything that I've received from God, I've trained my spirit to hear. I've trained my spirit to listen. I've trained my spirit. See, right on the inside, some of the most dramatic things can happen to you in this service, in services.
Yes.
I mean, Thank God for the shouting. Thank God for the running. Thank God for the dancing. I believe in all of that. But sometimes just hearing, the greatest deposits sometimes can be made by the anointing and by the word, by you sitting there and the word is going on inside of you and it's working inside of you. It's called the working word. It comes to work on the inside of you. Are you listening? Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. Somebody get it up. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. Is this all right? You came to church. I want to bless you. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. Paul says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his workings, which worketh in me mightily. Wherefore, I also labor, striving. Labor means work. I labor, striving according to his workings, which worketh in me mightily. His workings. Everybody say his workings. His workings can work in you. Listen to me. The word of God is able to go inside of you and expand you and build the capacity of your spirit up to hold more. Amen.
Amen.
And somebody say, Brother Strada, you preach, man, you preach way over my head, and I can't understand what you're talking about. Well, what you want me to do, preach under your way under your head? You already know what you know. I don't need to tell you that. I need to tell you something you don't know. I remember a lady come to my church on Wednesday night. Hallelujah. And we was out on a Wednesday night service, and just a Bible study, and I was preaching. I looked back, and I saw this lady, and I had a spiritual revelation right here on the inside. A spiritual vision. We call it a mini vision. I'm seeing on the inside. That is with the eyes of my spirit. I looked back then. I saw her drowning. I didn't say anything. I saw she went under. She come back up. I kept preaching. I saw she went back under. I didn't say anything. Lord didn't tell me to say anything. She went under. She come back up. I looked back. She went under. She went under the third time. Never come back up. I knew in the spirit she drowned. Saw that. I saw that like I'm looking at you. Saw it by revelation. I went home and told my wife. I said, sweetheart, I said, there was a lady in the service tonight. I said, as I was preaching, I looked back there and I saw her drowning in a just like an ocean of water. I saw her going under. She went under three times. The third time, she never come back up. Now, my wife knew me at that time. She knew. Well, yeah, that's just the prophet in you. Well, now, about 6 months later, I was going into Walmart, and I saw this lady coming out of Walmart. I was going in. We passing each other. I recognized. I spoke to her. And she sort of dropped it. You know when you miss church and you run into the pastor? You know what I mean by that? You see Pastor Steve coming, you hadn't been to church in a month, and you... You're ducking and dodging. Well, that's what she did. She saw me come. When she comes in, she recognized me. She dropped her head right away. I said, how you doing, sister? I said, well, I hadn't seen you in a while. And you know me. I could tell her last night, the last time she'd been there. I said, I hadn't seen you since Wednesday night 6 months ago. The month of February. And she dropped her head and she says, yeah, that's right, Brother Strada. She said, you know, she said, the last time I was at your service, I felt like I was drowning. She said, you know, she said, your teaching is just too deep for me. See, it proved out, didn't it?
Yeah.
I said, it proved out, didn't it?
See,
she told me exactly what I saw. She said, the last time I was there, it felt like I was drowning.
Yeah.
She said, your teaching is just too deep. Now, I used to think that people have to understand everything I preach. Yeah, I thought that. I thought that I had failed miserably if I left a service and nobody understood nothing. Found out I was doing pretty good if that happened. Did you know Jesus preached? Are you listening to me out there? If I'm going to have to come back there. Did you know that Jesus preached for 3.5 years and nobody understood nothing. I'm talking about Jesus. Did you know it? He preached for 3.5 years and left and nobody got anything. Big failure, isn't it? Yeah, they didn't get it. They didn't understand any, they didn't understand nothing he was saying. He said it anyway. In fact, he got to the end of his ministry. After 3.5 years, he come to the end of it and he said, "Boy, I had a lot I wanted to tell you but couldn't." Now, you laugh at me for going 90 minutes and not getting down to my point. Jesus went 3.5 years and never got to his point. But don't look at me in that tone of voice. He said in John chapter 16, verse 11 and 12, he says, "I have many things yet. I have many things yet I wanted to tell you, but couldn't." Think about that. Think about it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Man, I've read them. You mean that ain't it? That's not, you mean all that he said in Matthew, all that he said in Mark, all that he said in Luke, all that he said in John? He said, "I got yet many things I wanted to tell you." Man, I thought he had told us the many things. I'm still struggling with what he said. You mean that ain't it? But notice what he said. He said, "But you can't bear them now. Howbeit, when he is come, the Spirit of truth, he will lead you. He will guide you." In other words, he said, "Where I dropped off, he'll pick up. What I didn't tell you, he'll tell you. What I didn't teach you, he'll teach you. Because you'll be able to comprehend it." Peter and them didn't get it. They didn't get it. He told them constantly that God's going to raise him from the dead. They're in the upper room scared, shut up, thinking it's over, it's done. Peter said, "I don't know about you boys, but I'm going back to fishing." And they thought it was all over. And the Bible said Jesus walked right through the wall and he's knocking on that. There was in the upper room. The Bible said they were shut up for fear of the Jews. Jesus come right through that wall and come right in that room. And he told me why I did it. You want to know why I did it? I was preaching one morning, Sunday morning, month of September, year 1998. I knew you want to know. And I was preaching Sunday school one morning at a Baptist church. I was preaching along this line, and the Spirit of God spoke to me. I was talking about the Jews being shut up in the upper room for fear. And I was talking about this, and Jesus, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "Do you want to know why I walked through the wall?" Well, I didn't really care, to be honest about it. You want to know? You ever thought about it? See, I didn't think about it. I didn't care. All I know is he came through there. That's all I needed to know. He said, "Wouldn't you like to know why I came through the walls?" I say, "Well, since you want to tell me why." He said, "Because the door was locked." That's what he said to me. Here's my right hand to the Lord. The Bible said the door was locked for fear of the Jews. And he said, if I would have knocked on the door and they would have said, "Who is it?" And I would have said, "Jesus," they would have thought I was lying, wouldn't have opened the door. They would have thought I was an imposter. So I came right through the wall. And when I came through the wall, they was going through the other wall. And he said, "Hope, peace, be still, it's me." And then the Bible says he upbraided them for their unbelief. He said, "You should have known it. These are the words." And he said, "Now where, Thomas?" "He ain't with us on this load." He said, "I'll get him next time." He come through there and said, "Now stick your hands in there. Stick your fingers in there. Stick your finger and handle me." Yeah, he preached for 3.5 years. They didn't get anything. You know, that's like sometimes I preach for 90 minutes. I can look out there and tell somebody ain't getting nothing. Ain't getting anything. Now, I'm not going to look at you because I don't want to give you away. You can preach, and people don't, they just don't get things. Now, if you read the Bible and prayed in tongues, you'd get it.
Amen.
I'm not supposed to preach on your level. I'm supposed to jack you up and take you to a higher level. Amen. You already know what you know. I don't need to spend time telling you that. Amen. I need to tell you something that you don't know and stimulate you and stir you up and get you up to believe in God and wanting to read the Bible and pay close attention to it. Say amen.
Amen.
Now I'm going to read one verse of scripture and prove all this to you. 1 Timothy. Turn over there. My God, I done preached myself happy. Hallelujah. I thought that every time I preached anywhere, people had to understand everything. And if they didn't, I thought I was a failure. I just got to come down a level so people can get it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You see, we're here to stimulate growth through the word.
Hallelujah.
We're here to stretch you.
Hallelujah.
Get your rusty gears in your head to thinking. Getting you to see things in a different light. 2 Timothy 2:7. Look at the 7th verse. Paul, now he's been teaching and preaching to Timothy. Timothy didn't get it either. They had to write him 2 letters because he didn't get it in the first letter. Say amen.
Amen.
You look at the 7th verse. 2 Timothy 2:7. It says, consider. You see it? Is that what it say? I'm not asking you to believe nothing I preach. That's your problem. But I am asking you to consider it. You know, I might be right. I might know something you don't know. Consider what I say. I notice this. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And the Lord give thee understanding. You see that in the Bible? Look in the Bible. Look in the Bible. Consider what I say. See it? Consider it. That means ponder on it. Think about it. Don't throw it away and say, well, now I tell you what, I don't know about that Brother Slaughter. I tell you, he just go too far in this direction, too far. No, just shut that up and consider it. Consider what I say. You don't have to understand it. But consider what I say. And if you, in honor,
Hallelujah.
For you see, the attitude of the heart makes all the difference in the world.
Yes.
When you hear with a heart of reverence, with an open heart and a good spirit,
hallelujah,
then the engrafted word will go down into your spirit, and it shall do the work it was designed to do. For the word of God says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, for this cause we're bound to thank God for you, brethren, because when you heard the word of God, you heard it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh in them that believe.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen. Amen. See, the word's working.
Hallelujah.
See, the word's working.
Thank you, Lord.
I said the word's
thank
working.
You, Lord.
The word is able to build you up and give you an inheritance.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Consider what I say.
Amen.
Consider it. You don't have to believe it. Just ponder on it. Faith to come. But if you throw it away, you'll miss it. Consider what I say in the Lord. The Lord will give you understanding.
Amen.
It's not my job to give you understanding. It's my job to give you the word of God. Jesus gives us an understanding. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 through 21 says, for we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. And this is the one and true God, and this is eternal life. Eternal life is Jesus coming to impart that understanding of who he is, why he is, and what he is. Jesus supplies the understanding. I supply the word. You consider it, and he'll give you understanding. Amen?
Amen.
You get anything out of this?
Yes.
Praise God. I'll just stop. You know I'm not through. I'll just stop. I pastored for 7 years, nearly 7 years, when I was back in the 80s. And Praise God. And we had a small little church in a small community. I had the fastest growing church in the community. We was up to 35. But you know, everybody else wasn't running that. We was the fastest growing because we got 35 before anybody else got 35. Say amen there.
Amen.
And you preach and teach. I'm through preaching. I'm just talking now. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit. And Grace, you come help me get out of here. And so we had a good little church. And, man, we had signs and wonders. We had the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. I mean, when visitors come, they come from neighboring towns, 11 miles away, St. Joseph, 26 miles away, Tallulah, 34 miles away, Winsboro, 32 miles away, Waterproof. They come in vans sometimes. But we run about 35 or less, but we have a lot of visitors all the time. And people would come, and mine, they'd come be healed, they'd come be saved, they'd come get filled. Everybody ever came to my church that wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost always got filled with the Holy Ghost. And everybody that wanted to be healed always got healed of anything, of anything. But I noticed we go for a season and nothing happened. I mean, we go 4 months, just real softly. 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, nothing happened. And, you know, I sort of checked up on myself and thought, maybe I'm backslidden. You know, there's no word of knowledge. There's no prophecy. There's no tongues, no interpretation. Nobody getting healed. Nobody getting filled. Nobody getting saved. Sometimes it goes 7 months, 8 months. But I noticed whenever we had visitors come, then we get signs, we get wonders, we get miracles, we get the word of knowledge, we get the word of wisdom, we get discerning of spirits. But when the visitors go, there we go, slip right back into it. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, nothing happened. So I went to the Lord in prayer about it. Said, Lord, I checked up on myself. Am I backslidden? No, you're not backslidden. I say, well, why isn't anything happening in my church? He says, who says nothing's happening in your church? Who says nothing's happening in your church? What do you measure that by? Well, I measured it by outer manifestations. He says, there's plenty happening in your church. He says, the word is doing the work. He says, you notice when you don't have visitors, nothing happens because you're training your people. You're developing your people. You taught them how to pray. You taught them how to hear from God. You taught them how to walk by faith. He said, your people don't need healing. They don't need to be saved. They're already saved. They don't need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. They're already baptized in the Holy Ghost. He said, they've learned to believe me for their own healing. They learned to pray. He said, the word's working. He said, the word's working. In fact, he said, he's talking to me now on the inside. I always wanted to know what else he's saying about that. I always wanted to know. I knew he had something else to say about that. He just said it to me. He just said it to me. He said, the times when you viewed nothing was happening, he said, that was the greatest time things happening. More was happening on the inside than things that was happening on the outside. So the word was doing the work. The word was building them up to give them the inheritance. The word of my grace was preparing them. They didn't need miracles, but visitors do. Visitors need my grace. These people have my word. You're training them. You're doing a good job. Don't say nothing's happening. It's happening. When people don't need deliverance, the word's working. When they don't need anything, got a good service, the word's working. But we think when the office is filled with people with needs, that's a great sign. No, that's a sign you're not doing your job. If the word's working in you, you don't need the word of wisdom. The word is wisdom. If the word's working, you don't need the word of knowledge. The word is knowledge. If the word is working, you don't need discerning of spirit. The word is discerning. The word is faith. The word is miracles. The word is prophecy. The word is interpretation. The word Spirit is. See, all of that's manifestations of the Holy Ghost. But whatever the Holy Ghost does outwardly, the Word is doing inwardly. For it's working in you. God is working in you, both the will and the do for His own good pleasure. Working in you that which is well-pleasing to His sight. Now unto Him that is able, Ephesians 3:20. Now, see, we quote this verse wrong. We quote this verse wrong. Are you listening? We quote the verse wrong. Now unto Him that is able. Well, we know that. To do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I got a problem with that verse. There's a lot of things people are thinking, but they're not getting. There's a lot of things people are asking, but they're not getting. You see, God is able to outdo your asker, and He's able to outthink your thinker. But people are not receiving above what they can ask and above what they can think. Now, how come? Because we didn't finish the verse. You see, the back of the verse says, He does all of that according to the power that is at work on the inside of you. It's got to be on the inside of you. And the power that's working in Him is a little bit different than in you. And the power that's working in you is a little bit different than in you. And the power that's working in me is a little bit different. He's working all things exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask or think. But it's according to the power that's at work in you. In you. In you. The Word is effectually working in them that believe. I'm stronger today than I was yesterday. I'll be stronger tomorrow because I'm praying. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly of all that we ask or think, goes according to that power. I'm praying this way for my congregation. Lord, grant them to be strengthened with might by Your Spirit in the inner man. Now, how's He going to do it? He's going to do it by His Word. He's going to do it by His Spirit. He's going to do it by His grace. Hallelujah. You get anything out of this tonight? I said, did you get anything out of this? Lift your hands up. Let's thank the Lord for the Word. Let's thank Him for the Word. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for the Word. Oh, yes, we thank You for the Word. You see, if you would get happy about the Word. You see, if you would just get turned on to the Word. You see, that Word is working effectually. The Greek word energy, the Word is supplying divine power inside of you, working in you that which is well-pleasing, working out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. The working Word is working in your spirit. Everything that God does for you, He does it first on the inside. And if you will learn to be inside-minded, God will do great things first on the inside. All healings are received first on the inside. All prayers are answered first on the inside. All impartations are received on the inside. All graces come to be received on the inside. And then you work it out. You work it out. Pamara Sanjanabas. Soramanola Vibrasosha. Bredino la Bumbra Pafranosha. Father, we thank You for the Word. We thank You for the Word. That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. We thank You for the Word. We appreciate the Word. We appreciate the Word. Now pray this out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I have heard, I have believed, and I have received Your Word. Your Word, the Word of Your grace, is working in me to build me up, to give me full inheritance. All that's mine, all that belongs to me, I have it on the inside. And my spirit man is being made strong so that I may receive and walk in all that's mine. In Jesus' name. Now say this, say, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. The Word is working in me because I do believe. I do believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now just shout a little bit. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.